Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and the first pay-per-view of AEW's calendar for 2025 is this weekend. We are going to break it down the way we always do. It's the start of our prediction year. With me, as always, the man with the sauce. It's Cody Marinara. How are you doing, my friend?
My microphone is all the way over there. Hopefully you can still hear me. Yeah, it's going well. I'm ready to defend my 2024 AEW pay-per-view record. Full disclaimer, with all these predictions, we have no idea if or when Tony Khan will announce 18 more matches. So we are only going to predict what we know and what we see. And maybe we can make a graphic to where before the show, if there is any more matches announced, maybe we can add that to it. Or if they're just on 0 hour, maybe we don't have to worry about it. But yeah, doing well. How about yourself, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing really pretty good on that note. Like he said, we are going off of the 10 matches that have already been confirmed. We still have Collision on Saturday, so there might be an additional match or two. And sometimes, believe it or not, Tony Khan throws in 0 hour matches like 30 minutes before the show starts. So card is always subject to change, you know that, and so our predictions, as always, are going to be based off the information we have up to date. And so with that being said, let's jump right in with this conversation of AEW Revolution. We have another segment that we'll start the show with, but first let's give a big thank you to our affiliate partners. As always, we're powered by Dubby Energy. Get their wonderful products there, dubby.gg, and you use the code Beyond the Yard for 10% off of your order there. Energy powders and really good flavors that And, you know, sometimes you get some of these energy products and it might say it's like a blue raspberry flavor, but it has a very artificial taste to it. These are not too artificial, at least the ones that I've tried. They're really good. Help support this up-and-coming energy brand at w.gg. Use the code Beyond the Yard for 10% off. Get your StubHub tickets by going to the link in the description box below, and you can help support the Beyond the Junkyard podcast for any of your sporting needs. Baseball is just around the corner. The Washington Commanders, I believe, use StubHub as their official ticket seller. Tell me if I'm wrong.
SeatGeek. It's SeatGeek. Close.
Close enough. They use one of the ones that doesn't rip you off with fees like Ticketmaster does. You could probably find Commanders tickets on StubHub, the resale tickets, more than likely. Whatever team you like, whatever sports you like, whatever entertainment you like, you can go to StubHub using the link in our description. And then finally, we're talking about AEW Revolution, but WWE Shop, we affiliate with them. You can use the link in the description box there. I think they're having they're having a clearance sale on some items on the website there. So maybe you can get yourself a deal and help support the podcast there. And that leads us to our WWE talking point of the night. I always want to try and have at least one segment talking about WWE, even though we're bigger AEW fans. But unless you're living under a rock, quote, pun intended, unless you're living under a rock, I think everybody knows what we're talking about here. Everybody saw the biggest thing that's happened in WWE in quite some time, maybe since Undertaker streak was broken at WrestleMania. The forever babyface is no more. John Cena has turned heel. And so the question of the day for WWE: should John Cena have turned heel? Was this a good move for WWE? I'll let you answer before I give my thoughts.
Absolutely. I mean, this made the most sense. Typically, you want to have your heels versus your baby faces, your biggest heel, your biggest baby face off at WrestleMania. There's been a few face versus face matches that, if you actually look at some of the numbers coming out of those events, not so much attendance, but for the show, but the buy rates and things like that, they usually don't do as well as heel versus face. That's kind of the tried and true wrestling 101 type of thing, but especially at your biggest show of the year, that's, you know, where the ultimate storylines kind of get blown off, so to speak. And I don't think there's going to be a way or really a reason why Cody Rhodes should be turned heel at all. If anything, I feel like Cody Rhodes is the new John Cena of the WWE with how big of a baby face that he is, kind of carrying the torch that Cena left off. And it makes perfect sense to have Cena turn heel, you know? I don't think that this will be a long-lasting heel turn. I think we could probably see it up until maybe Money in the Bank, SummerSlam. I think eventually he's going to come to his senses that he shouldn't have done what he did, and maybe him and The Rock have their third and final match in their series since both are tied 1-1. That'd be pretty cool. I think it's really cool that Cena's turned heel. It's a very important moment in WWE history, but also wrestling history. And it was very well done. I don't know if we're counting the Elimination Chamber as part of our pay-per-view record prediction over just solely doing AEW shows. I kind of hope we are just doing AEW shows because I went 1-for-4. I didn't get one. The only match I got right was Cena's match. There's some questionable decisions in that mm-hmm. pay-per-view that I'm just not sure of. And maybe that's for a different podcast. Maybe as we lead up to WrestleMania, we have our own kind of big episode of WrestleMania, the storylines and the event and predictions and things like that. But yeah, I thought it was really well done, and it's the talk of the wrestling universe. Definitely biggest hits on social media. I'm anxious to see whenever we find out whatever the global view is for Netflix, if they've gone up, I would assume that they would have. Perfect timing, though. I just think that it goes back to what I've said, and I said it last year at WrestleMania after night two when Cody won. Kind of the emotion that everybody was feeling, the entirety of Cody finishing the story and everything that goes into it. When WWE hits their home runs, there's a reason why they're number one, you know, company in the world. They hit a home run. They hit grand slams. They can do no wrong. They just booked themselves really, really strong. And when they do things like that, what we saw at WrestleMania Night 2 and what we saw last past Sunday, Elimination Chamber, they're the best to do it. And I think everybody is definitely more in tune for WrestleMania now than they were before Sunday. So, yeah. Definitely should have done it, and I think it's paying off so far for him.
You make some good points there, but I tend to actually think one of the points that you made, that it's going to be a short-term heel maneuver, and I agree. I think this goes till SummerSlam. My thought process would be is SummerSlam will most more than likely get Rock versus Cena more, I think would probably make the most sense. But I think the fact that it's like the longest this heel run can last is 9 months, because he's done after in December.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And so, to me, the fact that it can only be a short-term heel run makes it a questionable decision. And I agree, you shouldn't go into WrestleMania and have a heel versus a heel, a face versus a face. And so I get it from that perspective of Cena and Cody, and Cena was going to be the guy, and this is his last WrestleMania, so it just makes sense. But I feel like you could have done it a little bit differently. I wasn't a big fan of them giving us the big moment, the big climax at Elimination Chamber. In my opinion, the heel turn was great. They did it to perfection, I think. But I think it would be an even bigger moment if John Cena turning heel was the reason he won the title. I think they should have done it at WrestleMania. And so maybe John, I guess for the question of should John Cena have turned heel, I'm kind of on the fence. I feel like since it's only going to be a short-term heel run, like they could have used Cena in a little bit of a different way and kept him babyface. I don't know. Like, if he does a terrible job on this heel run, does a bad heel run tarnish what is almost guaranteed of Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame career? And so I don't know. It's a risky move in my opinion, because everyone knows John Cena as the super baby face, but I think it's cool. And I think John Cena has wanted to go heel. I think he was on Chris Van Fleet, I think it was, where he was talking about in 2012, like he had the new theme and the new entrance and the new gear already planned for a heel run, and they didn't you know, go with it. And so I think Cena's always wanted to go heel. And obviously, it's like now or never with him retiring this year. So it makes sense to have Cena go heel. I just don't know if they gave us the heel turn at the right point in the storyline, in my opinion. It has me interested. I was shocked. I did not expect him to do it at Elimination Chamber. But I do agree that I'm happy it's not Cody that turned heel. And I guess another net benefit of this is Cena's going to have to lose the title at some point in time, and you're going to be able to put over another babyface. I think it was last year. I started the John Cena should be retired by Trick Williams movement. I think Trick Williams is going to be the next super babyface because he's just over with the people in NXT, and I think that can translate into the main roster at some point if they ever call him up. So the difficulty with having Cena get retired by Trick Williams was you don't want Cena's retirement match to be face versus face. Now with Cena as the heel, he can create that next super babyface, and maybe it's Trick Williams or maybe it's another face. So I guess that's a good part that Cena can retire and kind of pass the torch. But overall, it'll be an interesting to see where this goes. It'll be fun. I'll watch from a distance because the rest of the show is very hard to watch. Let's move to AEW. Why don't we? AEW Revolution live from the Crypto.com arena in Los Angeles, California, this Sunday. It's been a while since AEW had a Sunday pay-per-view, it feels like.
I got used to those Saturday ones. I think their first one was either All Out or Wrestle Dream. I know Wrestle Dream definitely was a Saturday Full Gear World's End. So we got pretty spoiled there with having some Saturday pay-per-views. But now we're back to the Sundays, unfortunately.
Sunday pay-per-views. You can buy AEW Revolution at multiple different places, including Amazon Prime. There's some controversy over if it should be full price on Prime. I don't really care. Like, just buy the pay-per-view if you want to watch it. But it gives more options. I like it, especially with the fact that it's probably going to help the UK crowd, because I think the only option they had internationally was Triller up until now. So they have additional ways for people to tune in and watch Revolution. Let's start with the 0 hour match. We have Orange Cassidy, Big Boom, AJ, and Mark Briscoe taking on Johnny TV and MXM Collection. To be completely honest, I don't know if there's a storyline behind this. I guess Big Boom AJ bumped into MXM Collection on an episode of Collision, I want to say it was, a while back. This is just a promotional match. Big Boom AJ is just a promotional tool. He was at the Lakers game last night promoting AEW. I'm cool with this match. This will be fun. Fun way to kind of start the show. I assume there's going to be additional 0 hour matches added to this card. But this is the only one we have confirmed so far. I'll go the face tag team or trio of Cassidy, Big Boom AJ, and Mark Briscoe to pull out a pre-show 0 hour victory.
Yeah, I'll go with that as well. I think it's a good way to get the crowd kind of off and running. All six of these guys can provide some really good entertainment for the crowd. Just really liven that crowd up as we get into Revolution, the main card. But yeah, I think we're definitely going to have to go with the face tag team as well. Orange Cassidy, Big Boom, AJ, and Briscoe. Although I will say, I don't want to use the word disappointing, but it is interesting how Orange Cassidy just 3 months ago, 2 months ago, was main eventing Full Gear, and now is on the pre-show. That's the ebbs and flows of the wrestling industry, and you know, OC really didn't have much of a storyline going into Revolution as a whole. So just one of those things that kind of happens, and either way, he's still one of the top stars of AEW, and he's going to be on the show in one way or another, and you know, that should be really good for the social media crowd to get some views there. And like I said, help help usher in the pre-show into the main card for Revolution.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, but I think I saw the stat a couple weeks ago that this absence from Orange Cassidy was the longest stretch of time that he's been away from the company since he was first shown. So, I mean, well-deserved break. He has been a workhorse for AEW, and so I think he's good with where he's at. This will be a fun way to introduce the crowd to get them to purchase the pay-per-view. I don't know why this picture in particular is blurry. The rest of them aren't. This is the only one that came out blurry when I saved them to my computer. But if you can see on the bottom of that picture, you can watch Zero Hour on Amazon Prime, X, Facebook, and YouTube for free, and then you can purchase Revolution on the five or six different ways that you can purchase it. Let's move on to the main card, and this might be the at least in my opinion, the most stacked card on an AEW pay-per-view in quite some time. And I'm really anticipating a really good show on Sunday. We will start with the Continental Championship match between Kazuchika Okada and Brody King. And this is going to be a fun match. And I'm excited to see where this leads. I think Brody King is really good in the ring. Okada, he's starting to maybe be worth the money that AEW paid to bring him in. And I'm going Okada to retain here just simply because there's not a whole lot going into this match as to why Brody King is getting this Continental title match. My feeling is, and I can't confirm this, is...
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
They had bigger plans for Brody King and Buddy Matthews before the Aussie show, where Buddy Matthews did something to his ankle. And so they're kind of running on a plan B on their feet. And Brody gets a title match on a really big pay-per-view in his hometown. Essentially, he's from Van Nuys, California, right down the road from LA. So good hometown crowd for Brody King. Okada is loved here, and let him get a win and retain, and what's going to be a slobber knocker, as Jim Ross would say.
Yeah, the little bit of a teaser we got with these guys fighting on Dynamite last night was pretty fun, and I think this will be a really fun matchup in general. I don't think you're going to get a five-star match out of this, and that's okay. Just going to be a fun match overall, I think. I would say this is probably the least built not too highly of an expectation type of match, but it's okay because, I mean, I would say the entirety of the rest of the card has been really well done build. And like you said, this might be the most stacked card AEW's put together, if not of all time, definitely in the top five for sure. And most of these matches have really good build to it, which even with the 2 to 3 month stretch of time in between pay-per-views that AEW's had before, we haven't always got it. But Revolution seems like it always delivers anyways. I just feel this year they have done such a tremendous job with the amount of time in between World's End and Revolution that they've done a really good job with the build of this pay-per-view. the consistency of the storylines leading up into it, and the storylines to mean something for most of these matches. So really looking forward to this Sunday's show. I think it's going to be really, 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 really good. But I think this will be a fun match. I do have Okada retaining as well. I don't think there's really a reason to put it on Brody right now. But I feel Okada's reign does need to come to an end pretty soon, because I feel like this Continental Championship run has gotten pretty flat. And I feel like he's destined for better things, whether it's him versus Omega at All In Texas. I feel like that's where it's going to lead to it. We still got 4 months before that happens. So plenty of time to build in between now and then. But yeah, it's going to be a fun match, and I got Okada going over here.
All right, we'll move on with a number one contender match for the AEW World Champion, winner to take on, assumingly the winner of the Jon Moxley versus Cope match between Swerve Strickland and Ricochet. And let me tell you something, Ricochet, in my opinion, he has to be an early contender for the most improved of 2025, because what we got at the end of his WWE run compared to what we get in AEW is just night and day different. And Ricochet, it's just, this feud is really good. And if there wasn't a couple other feuds that I just felt were a little bit better, this could be the main feud of AEW at this point. There was a moment in their promo battle contract signing last night that was a little tacky. I don't know if Ricochet was anticipating his hat would fall off easier or whatnot, but it looked a little uncoordinated there, getting the hat turned off before he got bludgeoned in the face with the scissors. Totally not what the Acclaim meant when they said "scissor me, daddy." No. Yeah, I'm super excited for this match. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that she was mentioned in the promo last night. I think we see Samantha Irvin maybe make her AEW on screen debut in the corner of her husband Ricochet, we get Swerve and Ricochet, number one contenders. This is tough, and it almost depends, I think, on where they're going. Like, I wish I would know where they're going with the world championship picture. I think that better defines where it's going. But going with a gut feeling here, I'm going Ricochet to get the win against Swerve Strickland. He'll become the number one contender for the world title.
Interesting choice there. I'm kind of in the same boat with you. This really just kind of depends where they're going to go with the world title. I have a thought and opinion about that as we get into the main event later down in the road in the show. But I'm going with the fact that Ricochet has already had two wins now over Swerve, once on a one-on-one match on Dynamite. I believe Swerve has one over him as well. And then last night's tag team match, Ricochet and Okada won. So because of that, and Ricochet got the pin on Swerve as well, I believe, I'm going to go with the fact that, in a way, Ricochet is kind of up 2-1. This is a way for Swerve to kind of get even with that. And he gets his win here, becomes number one contender for the world title, which if this is preluding to possibly what happens, Swerve will be in the main event for a second year in a row at Dynasty, where last year he won the world title. So pretty interesting how that could be a thing that happens. We'll see kind of when that world title match happens. But yeah, I think it's going to be a great match, really good build to the storyline, and I've got Mr. Swerve winning.
I don't want to change your view on it, because you're maybe right. Is Dynasty in Philadelphia this year? Is that right?
Sure is.
Ricochet's been wearing that Eagles hat too damn much. That might not be a coincidence. So
maybe not. Maybe not.
we will see. Tune in Sunday. We will see what happens there. This is going to be a good match. Probably going to be probably earlier in the card. And it'll be a good match to kind of get the crowd going. We go next to what I think might be the feud of the year. And this might not be match of the night, but this might be feud of the year. This is going to be an absolute barn burner, slobber knocker. Someone may need emergency services after this match is ended. MJF has absolutely lost his marbles. And just when we think MJF cannot reinvent himself, that his character's kind of gone a little stale, he just pulls out another trick from the bag of tricks that he has. He looked absolutely unhinged last night, and it's looking like MJF is a desperate man to take down Hangman Page. But I don't know. These matches, and AEW does a good job at kind of not giving away the story too early. I don't know where this feud goes. But I do believe it's going to be a pretty long feud. I hope it's a pretty long feud. I'm going to go MJF gets the win here, get the heel up 1-0 in the feud and see where it goes down the line. Give me MJF to sneak a win over Hangman Page. Maybe there's some trickery or some foul play. MJF is a desperate man trying to get a W here and get the approval of the AEW fans. So I go MJF to win this one.
I do agree with the fact that this is going to be an absolute barn burner, just an all-out brawl of a match. This is going to be a fun one to watch. I think we've got the MJF of old back, but we've got a reinvented version of himself. In 2024, it can kind of be left in the rearview mirror from his character's perspective of that whole thing. Can turn the page and get back to the MJF that we love to hate, hate to love, but just a damn good character. And this Hangman gimmick has just been, it's been such an interesting ride with him coming from the swerve thing to obviously now with MJF. And 2024 was not a good year for me to pick Hangman Adam Page, because I think of my 18 losses, I think 12 of them were him. maybe not 12, but I swear it seems like every time I picked Hangman, he always lost. And I will go on a limb and say that if he loses this match on Sunday, that he's going to be the Drew McIntyre of AEW. Just constantly losing big matches after being a world champion. And I love Drew. I love Hangman. Which makes this very incredibly difficult because I want to pick Hangman Page because he deserves it. But you also got to give the devil his due. And it's such a conflicting thing of where does this story go? Could we get the heel up one? Maybe the face comes back, wins two. Does the face win the first one? Heel wins the second. We get to a third. So I'm telling you right now, I'm going to pick the son of a bitch. And if he loses, I will never pick him again. I'm going Adam Page.
You heard it, Hangman. You're responsible.
You're on the chopping wood. You're on the chopping block, son. Give me a damn win.
That'll give him the encouragement to pull it out.
That's gonna push him over. That's it right there.
Yes, sir. This is gonna be fun. You think we're not even halfway through this card, and we have three matches that 2 years ago could have main evented any pay-per-view. And even this year could main event any pay-per-view.
If I may interrupt, this is the pay-per-view that I wish started at 6:30 p.m. or 7, because I'm going to be exhausted after this pay-per-view from just how good it's going to be. But yeah, I digress. Continue.
We're moving on here. We have a TBS championship match between the champion Mercedes Moné and the challenger Momo Watanabe. And now, I don't know how familiar you are with Momo Watanabe's work. I don't know how many matches you've seen, but I've seen a few. I've seen, I watched her and Mercedes fight back in Stardom, I believe it was, a year or two ago, and this is going to be an absolute spectacle. Might be one of the best matches on the card, and it's going to be just beautiful. And they're teasing Mercedes versus Athena, and now you know Mercedes has like 7 belts or 4 belts or however many belts she has now.
4 belt money.
4 belt
money. Come on, man.
And so I don't necessarily think she has to win this match to still set up that Athena feud, because she could always put any of her other belts on the line. But I think the match at All In is going to be Mercedes Moné versus Athena, and it'll be champion for champion, winner takes all, TBS belt, and the ROH World Championship. So with that being said, Mercedes Moné gets the win. She retained. This is going to be beautiful. It wouldn't shock me if we see Billy Starks show up, which I'm happy to see Billy Starks take the jump to the main roster, per se, and kind of navigate out of the ROH sphere. It'd be cool to see if Athena showed up and they kind of actually confirm that that's kind of the direction they're going. But yeah, give me Mercedes Moné to retain here.
Yeah, I think that I'm not sure when, if the goal is to get to Mercedes and Athena, I don't know when you got to really start planning the season, teasing for that. Because obviously you still have 2 pay-per-views to get through, 3 between Dynasty, Double or Nothing, and I believe Forbidden Door is going to still be in June. So still got a little ways to go, but I mean, it's never too early to plant the seeds for sure. I've seen a little bit of Momo Watanabe's work, just not a whole lot, but just a little bit. And definitely seems like pound for pound, one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. Very physical. That's the Japan style, of course. But just an all around, very well-rounded in-ring talent. So I think this will be a very, very good match. One that's probably very underrated, because I'm sure there's a lot of the American crowd that hasn't watched Momo's matches, doesn't know much about her. I wish AEW could have done maybe a tiny bit better job with building her up a little bit more going into this match. But regardless, I think we're in for a treat Sunday night when these two square off. I've also got Mercedes winning as well. I don't think there's a legit reason why we could put it on Momo at the moment. Maybe she could be the NJPW Strong Women's Champion down the road or something like that. But yeah, I think it's cool that we've seen Billy Starks on AEW TV here recently. Like you said, kind of get out of that the ROH kind of swirl of uncertainty there, and at least showing her on AEW TV. Would be nice to see maybe her get involved here, maybe accidentally cause Momo the match or something like that. But I've got 4 belt Moné, staying 4 belt Moné, and retaining the TBS title as well.
Yeah, just a couple other notes on this match. I wonder if this maybe possibly leads to an NJPW Strong Women's Champion match at the show in Chicago next month, between Mercedes and Momo. But also for the people who, because I know there's going to be like some troll that watches this and wants to know why the hell Momo Watanabe got this match. And it revolves around you having to realize that she won the women's 4-way at Wrestle Dynasty to be able to challenge for any of the AEW, Stardom, CMLL, or ROH belts. So she chose Mercedes Moné, and that's why she's getting this match. So 5-second Google search would have figured that out, but I thought I would just go ahead and tell you. We move on. Oh man, this match is going to be an absolute stellar. My brother, we too deep. Slapping Meat Man said that Drew McIntyre CM Punk steel cage match was the best steel cage match of all time or whatever. Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher are about to show you what a steel cage match is going to be. This is going to be an absolutely insane match. Kyle Fletcher has gotten in absolutely remarkable shape. He looks better than I've ever seen Kyle Fletcher. And Will Ospreay is Will Ospreay. This, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Dave Meltzer is going to give this like 5.25 stars.
He's going to give this 8 stars. Let's not kid ourselves here.
Like, let's just go ahead and get that out of there. This is going to be a 5-star match. Before I make my prediction, Will Ospreay was on, was it Chris Van Fleet too, the other day, and basically said he doesn't understand why WWE fans hate him. They would be essentially playing with themselves to his matches if he was in WWE. Will Ospreay is a man of just blunt truth, and this is going to be a fun match. The Don Callis family and Will Ospreay. I wonder if Will Ospreay has somebody help him in this match, because you know the Don Callis family will play their tricks somehow and break into the steel cage or something like that. It'll be interesting to see who is on Ospreay's side. You think Kenny Omega has a match on this card, and who's the other guys that have kind of helped Will Ospreay? Mark Davis has left them, and so doesn't really have anybody in his corner. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It's kind of hard to pick this match, to be honest with you, but I'm going again with a gut feeling. Kyle Fletcher gets a win here. I think Kyle Fletcher pulls out the victory in this steel cage match. And,
I would kind of beg to differ to if anybody really wants to watch one of the best steel cage matches of all time. I mean, there's a few for sure, but one of the most recent ones, that I remember is Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks at All Out 2021 or 2022. I think it was 2021 in Chicago. Just an absolutely amazing, crazy, wonderful match. That is up there for sure. I'm looking forward to this match. I really am. It's going to be an insane, insane match. I don't know how to pick this. I really don't. I don't know where each of these go from here.
Right.
And that's the problem, is I feel if Kyle wins, this can prolong him to get into a TNT title match type of thing. Maybe, I don't want to say that him and Takeshita should fight for the international title. That could be on the table, I guess. But I would more so be inclined to say the TNT title. Whereas if Will does it, he could go back for the international title. He could jump up and try to face Okada. For the Continental title, could go for the TNT title as well. Back to the world. I don't know. I just don't know where these two go from here. And that's kind of what's bogging me down from picking, because I feel almost Fletcher has more of an opportunity to jump up if this is the end of this feud, versus where Ospreay, he could still jump up, but I just don't know where he goes from here either. Kind of going back to what happened at Grand Slam Australia, it was Omega and Ospreay that got the win over Takeshita and Fletcher. And as much as I want to say Will's going to win, and I think he probably will win, I'm actually going to go with you as well, and I'm going to pick Fletcher as well. I think that this could really elevate him into a different push and a different way that fans look at him as an actual legit person. It'd be interesting if anybody does come out to help Will, whether it's Omega or if it's anybody else. But with Davis and Takeshita on Callis' side as well as the Murder Machines with Archer and Brian Cage, they've got more of a numbers game than Ospreay does. So, yeah, I think somehow, some way, Kyle does win this, and he gets pushed up further up the card for maybe striking gold at Dynasty or even Double or Nothing in the next month or two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think Hobbs kind of has some sort of affiliation with Ospreay. I think that was the guy that was tag teaming with him at one point. But we'll see. This will be fun, and I don't want to speculate too much, but this will be a very fun match to go. Next, speak of the devil, the AEW International Championship match, Konosuke Takeshita versus Kenny Omega and Alpha versus Omega is kind of the way they're telling this. And the last time Kenny Omega was in a match dubbed Alpha versus Omega, it was Wrestle Kingdom 12 against the Alpha, Chris Jericho, and Kenny Omega against all odds took down Chris Jericho. And once again, the Omega, the best bout machine, the cleaner, call him the closer because he's going to close the title reign of Konosuke Takeshita, give Kenny Omega the international belt, put it on his shoulder. Kenny Omega wins this match. This is going to be fun. This might be match of the night. Revolution last year, Takeshita and Ospreay was the match, I believe it was, and they had an absolute best match of the year. This might top that one. And so give me Kenny Omega, though.
This is where I feel maybe the plant, the seeds, which they don't have to come eye to eye, face to face whatsoever. But I think this is where the seeds could get planted for Kenny facing Okada at All In Texas, possibly for an international title. It is, I believe, an elevated title over the Continental title. And while I think maybe the world title would be a better suit for Kenny versus Okada on a big stage like that, bring it to the American crowd, them in general fighting in the American sphere is going to be big enough that's going to draw and sell. So even if they have a stake and put a title on the line, I think if it's even the international title, it's still going to be fine. On one hand, I think Takeshita winning would be phenomenal for his trajectory in the company as well. I think he's already had a singles win over Kenny Omega in AEW already. But doing it for a title could be even bigger. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. Kenny is what, 2-0 since he's 3-0 since he's been back full time, winning against Gabe Kidd at Wrestle Dynasty. And then fought with Brian Cage on a Dynamite, beat him, and then wrestled alongside Ospreay and defeated Takeshita and Fletcher in Australia. So I think if you're going to have to really push Kenny Omega to the moon, that maybe we give him the title here and keep it going. Otherwise, I'm not really 100% sure as to what exactly this kind of looks like down the road, where it goes for either one of these lads. That's kind of the hard part with some of these matches is while you think, yeah, it kind of looks easy, but on the surface, it's like, where do these go from here? And that's kind of one of the biggest things that I always try to look forward to is, okay, well, I can kind of see where this may happen, that may happen, so I'm not 100% sure. And some of these matches definitely have that feel, but I'm not sure where this could go. It could go either way. Man, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. You've got Kenny Omega winning. I'm going to go with Kenny as well. I think his winning streak continues and we give him a belt. And it's not the world title belt, so we're not pushing him so far up the moon. People are like, oh, he goes away for a year and a half and all of a sudden he comes back and wins a world title. No, he wins a title and puts some gold around his waist again. But Konosuke Takeshita has had a pretty good run as international champion. And I think it does come to an end Sunday against Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I just feel more so with Takeshita. I don't know if you remember this, but he has a triple contract. He has like a contract with AEW, CMLL, and New Japan. So I feel like at some point, take the belt off of him, maybe give him some time to go to New Japan and work there for a little bit, work some of those American dates that they have coming soon, and allow Kenny to kind of build the prestige of the international championship. But either way, I think it'll be a good match. Sneaky pick for match of the night candidate. We're moving on, and we got the AEW World Tag Team Championship match. The Hurt Syndicate come in and defend their belt against the youngest guys in the room, the 20-year rookies, the Outrunners, Turbo, Floyd, Truth, Magnum. This is going to be a very interesting match. I think it'll be a good match. Total clash of styles, but I think in a good way. And do we see a third Hurt Syndicate member? What happens here? This is just interesting. I don't think the Hurt Syndicate get the tag team belts if they were just going to lose them at their first pay-per-view defense. I think it's their first pay-per-view defense. And so I'm a go Hurt Syndicate, as much as it hurts me, because I love the Outrunners. It's in LA, so there's always a possibility the Young Bucks show up. So keep them in the back of your mind. They're done with New Japan for now. They lost the IWGP Tag Team Championships, so they may come in and play a part in their home area. But give me the Hurt Syndicate to win this match.
I love the Outrunners. I love what they do. I love what they're about. I love their gimmick. I just really enjoy them. And Turbo Floyd has liked some of my retweets of them, so that also goes into effect as well. Appreciate you there, Turbo. Their vignette that they showed on Dynamite with that like 1980s style vignette, I wish they'd do that so much more. It's so good. It is so good. In a perfect world, we would strike the iron when it's hot and we say, man, these guys are over. Let's put the straps on them. They've kind of lost a little bit of steam, and I think that's just because they haven't been shown on TV as much and haven't been winning as much and this and that. They still get great pops, don't get me wrong, but I think that their steam has slowed down a little bit. But I think at some point, maybe in 2025, we get an Outrunners Tag Team Championship run. That'd be so cool. But on this night, the Hurt Syndicate is going to be too much, too strong, and they are going to defeat the 20-year rookies and can retain the World Tag Team titles.
Absolutely. I'm hoping this helps build the tag team division. For a while, it seemed like it was on the back burner, and hopefully they can start making the tag team division as good as it was in its original inception. So this will be fun. I'm happy we don't have a tag team championship match with the Young Bucks or FTR or some of those other tag teams that always seem to get the title matches at these pay-per-views. So this will be a breath of fresh air for sure. Let's keep it going here. We're going to do this match first, but I want to talk about this idea, because this is a question that on social media is a big talking point. The presumed main event is Moxley versus Cope. I think, and I want to hear your opinion on it before we make these predictions, I think Tony Storm and Mariah May should main event. I think it just makes perfect sense that it's the Hollywood ending and it ends the show. I get it. There's probably going to be some big after the match chaos with Moxley. And I get it that maybe that's the way they want to end the show, but I don't know. I'm just so much more invested in Tony Storm and Mariah May than I am in Moxley and Cope. And I'm interested in the Death Rider storyline. It's been better than it has been in the past. I don't know. I think this match should be the main event. Tony Storm and Mariah May, your thoughts?
Because of what I think of what I think will happen at the end of the show with the world title, that's going to end the show. Almost any other show, this should be main eventing, bar none. And I still wouldn't be mad if they still pull one over on us and they did the world title match and still do whatever I think may happen and not end the show and instead let this main event it. I don't think we've had a women's match main event in pay-per-view?
No.
For AEW?
And so that was brought up on the media call today or yesterday or whenever it was. And Tony Khan said, it's a possibility. And I don't know. It seemed to me like the way that it was said was he was trying not to give away. Like I read the tweet that I read thinking, oh yeah, he's definitely going to have this match main event. So I wouldn't shock me either way. My just because of what I'm invested in, I would like the AEW Women's World title match to main event, but I wouldn't be irritated if Moxley either, because that's just traditionally you're always your main events, your men's world title match. But as far as I'm aware, no, the women haven't main evented. Like the women's world title hasn't main evented a pay-per-view. And so it'd be cool if this was the first time.
I absolutely agree with that. I think no matter what happens with that world title match, that you can still have whatever you're planning to do with that. And then this is so much completely different than what the world title match, the men's world title match presents, no matter what happens. That you can still have this as the main event of the show because it's so different from what any of the other storylines and the matches are going into this card are. This is the most developed, thought out, processed, built storyline almost in AEW history. I mean, this thing has gone back a year from when it started, had the two matches. I really wish this wasn't happening here. It was so short from their Brisbane match that I really hope that this would happen at Double or Nothing or, even Dynasty or hell, even at All in Texas. I wish they would have played this out just a little bit longer. Let this trilogy build up just a tiny bit more and then give me this match. If this was on Dynasty or Double or Nothing or maybe even at All in Texas, I would say that this still would main event those shows. But I would not be opposed for this main eventing. This is going to be such a different match.
Right. And I wonder, like, how much of it – because I feel like they're going to have a very
– These girls are going to have – I think they're going to give them 30, maybe 30, mm-hmm. 35.
But I wonder how much, like, cinematics will Tony Storm kind of have. Like, is there going to be a long intro to her coming out to the ring or – what are they going to do with it? I think there's so much they can do with it being in LA and playing up to the movie character that Tony Storm plays. But let's get to calling it. Who wins it? And man, this is tough.
This might be the toughest match to call.
The reason it's tough is because like it feels like it's the end of the feud, regardless. Hint the name, the Hollywood ending. And it's like if Mariah wins, what babyface do they have that can kind of step up to Mariah May? I think they've done such a great job at focusing on this story, but I don't know if in the undercard, if there's a woman that's ready that's a babyface, maybe Willow Nightingale. But it seems like she may be now intertwined with Moxley and the Death Riders and that angle there. And we don't know where that goes. But if Tony wins, I don't know where it leads either, because I feel like the idea is the next couple women's events we have, probably Megan Bain and Chris Statlander in a feud. I mean, Jamie Hayter's been off TV for quite some time, I guess visa issues or whatever. Maybe she's the one that steps up and gets back in the title scene. I always felt like, and this is why I'm going Toni Storm to win it. I'm going Toni Storm to win this match. I always have felt like the idea leading into All In, because it's in Texas, Texas is Thunder Rosa's area, that she's going to get her title opportunity at All In Texas. And we were supposed to, before Thunder Rosa had her injury issues that took forever for her to come back, and before Toni Storm just completely changed her gimmick, we were supposed to have Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa for the AEW World's Championship. And it never happened. And I feel like that's where they're leading at All In. And I might be wrong. And for some people's sake, I hope, they probably hope I'm wrong. But that's where I see it going. And so for that reason, Toni Storm wins and retains the AEW World Championship.
I can't honestly think ahead and see what could happen almost with either one of these. Not that that's totally a bad thing. It's just because of how well this feud has played out that it's like, holy crap, they have to face other people. I guess you could do a Megan Bain storyline with Toni Storm. You could do a Penelope Ford. You could do a Julia Hart, maybe. If you're Mariah May, you could do, I guess, a Willow Nightingale, a Statlander, a Thunder Rosa, a Jamie Hayter. Hell, maybe even a Billy Starks.
And I wonder, like, is Britt Baker, like, is she still on the roster? Like,
I have no idea.
Just thinking about it, like, Mina Shirakawa, like, does she play another piece in this feud again? Like, she's been away for a while, but I believe she's in the area, but I don't know. I can't confirm that. She's been working in Stardom for the last little bit. So, but does she have a role in this? Does she want any revenge against Mariah? Or maybe she takes Mariah's side and wants to get revenge on Toni Storm. I don't know.
You kind of presented something really interesting in my mind, and this is why maybe I feel this should main event the show. With it being the Hollywood ending, the trilogy, possibly the last match, give me everything possibly you can throw into this match that just makes me almost burn out from it. And that's why I feel like it could main event the show, because I feel they can do so much with this match if they really wanted to. They could bring out Mina Shirakawa. Maybe she turns on Mariah and goes for Toni Storm. What if Luther, an integral part of this whole thing, what if he betrays Toni Storm and goes with Mariah May? Like, there's so many different avenues you could do to really get just so much, squeeze all of the juice out of this storyline into one match. And the possibilities could be endless with what they could do with this match.
So while you're thinking about it, I just pulled up Twitter, and the red carpet of the Queen of the Ring, I guess, was tonight. And Mariah May attack Toni Storm at the red carpet of Queen of the Ring. So they're playing into that a little bit there. So this will be interesting.
Oh, if you hadn't told me that, I think I was going to go with Mariah May. But now that you did tell me that, she's got the one up going into the pay-per-view, and just the wrestling OG and me, I'm going to go with Toni Storm. I'm going to have to go with Toni Storm. You'll leave the face down going into the show and have the face winning, overcoming the odds. That's usually the way it's booked. I'm so invested into this match too. I hope they just throw everything against the wall and just give me everything that this match could give, and let's go out with it.
Absolutely. And that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, to the main event of the evening, The AEW World Championship is on the line, and Jon Moxley is going into LA, the world champion. He's fighting the Rated R superstar, Cope. Jay White is going to be in Cope's corner. At least he says he is. I don't know. Usually when it is explicitly announced that someone's going to be in someone's corner, they end up turning on them. But I had this idea. So we saw Moxley kind of get upset with Wheeler Yuta. But Wheeler Yuta, he's not knocked out. He's not unconscious. He hypothetically could still show up with Jon Moxley on Sunday. Jay White's in Cope's corner. Mox has Wheeler Yuta. What if Jay White goes to turn on Cope, but Wheeler turns on Moxley at the same time? We get that double swap. The double swap. I think, and now long term, I think neither of these men leave the arena champion. Because there's a man. I knew I took it from you.
Son of a bitch. Damn you.
I think this is just the most logical conclusion. But there's a man that we haven't seen in a minute that has a contract that we would assume at some point expires. They really didn't explain when the contract opportunity expired. So, but we have to assume that it expires at some point.
Well, won that thing again at Wembley, right?
Yeah, he won it at Wembley Stadium. It's almost been a year since he held it. So,
and I guess theoretically, he has until All In Texas. Maybe he could do it at the biggest show of the year.
Now, Christian Cage cashes in and wins the AEW World Championship. But so, afterwards, we set up his feud. Because there is a man that has been cleared to wrestle again, and his name is Luchasaurus. And we set up the feud we've been waiting for. Luchasaurus, Christian Cage, at Dynasty. Maybe. Because Ricochet, I guess, would have the number one contendership match. But we don't – I would feel like they would save Ricochet Swerve for Double or Nothing. And so we have Dynasty kind of be your setup, and you in Christian Cage. Or even if Luchasaurus fought for the belt on a Dynamite or something before Dynasty. But I feel like they have that mini feud – introducing Luchasaurus back, even if he loses and Christian Cage retains the belt. But I think Luchasaurus plays a piece in this. I think Jay White is going to try and help Christian Cage. And then Christian Cage leaves as the champion. But I'll let you tell it from your perspective.
I love you. Please don't speak Luchasaurus and Christian Cage main eventing a pay-per-view.
Why not?
No.
Why not? It could be something. Jack Terry.
You can't involved. Listen. You can't Jack do that in Philadelphia. Get involved. Get all over that. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. Dynamite is fine. We can't do that for a pay-per-view, please. So, I think. I think Cope wins over Moxley. During his celebration is where we could see Christian cash in the contract.
Okay.
Now, if you're saying that we believe Christian or Luchasaurus is clear to wrestle, maybe he comes back. and does what we or attempts to do what we saw him do with Christian at All In London. Fake go for the choke slam and then shoves off Cope and choke slams Christian and costs Christian the contract. Setting up their feud for Dynasty, but it's not for the world title, and Cope walks out still the world champion. Now,
sorry to interrupt, but I'm putting internet theories with my own theories together. The internet thinks Jack Perry's coming back to help John Moxley. Like, apparently there's some promo John Moxley caught that they believe Jack Perry's going to show up and help. What if Luchasaurus comes back and Jurassic Express is now a tag team, a heel tag team working with the Death Riders?
That would be interesting. My biggest thing would be just how does Jack Perry kind of revolve around this when he was just with the Elite in the Bucks?
I'd have to go back and look at this promo, but at some point in time, Moxley called Jack Perry like a strapping young man or something like that. Like, they had some promo battle, like when Moxley first won the belt off of Danielson. It's been a while since it happened, and I quite honestly forgot it even happened, to be honest with you. So
that's fair. Bring up Jason's comment there that just happened of the last one there in the chat, if you would. So yes, it already happened where Cope won the TNT title from Christian Cage at World's End 2023. What happened was that Luchasaurus had won a gauntlet match on the pre-show that night for a future TNT championship match. He cashed it in after Cope beat Christian at World's End. But before Luchasaurus cashed it in, Christian made him give up his opportunity to Christian. Luchasaurus chokeslammed Cope, gave the title opportunity to Christian. Christian beat Cope, so it was a two title switch that same night. Cope beat Christian to be the world TNT champion, and then 5 minutes later, Christian took Luchasaurus' opportunity and beat Cope again and won. And so that's where I think it could happen, where this kind of same situation happens, where Cope wins the belt, Christian tries to ruin his parade, kind of like what happened at World's End 2023, but Luchasaurus comes out and actually stops it and either doesn't allow Christian to cash in or have Luchasaurus cost Christian the title opportunity and he loses. Now, would it be funny as hell? I wouldn't say funny. It'd be actually, I would not want this, but I think it'd be funny as hell is if Luchasaurus comes out and like is about to beat the shit out of Christian. It's like, no, bitch, this is payback. You give me that world opportunity, that world title opportunity, and Christian hands it over to Luchasaurus, but costs him the match.
Or Christian goes to sign the contract and it's already signed.
That'd be something. But what if Nick Wayne comes all out on all this? I'm getting way too in the weeds. I shouldn't be.
yeah. So happens when you fantasy book you.
No kidding. Good lord. So I haven't even wrote down and actually given my full prediction. So I need to actually do this. I'm going to go with call me crazy, call me wild. I think because you stole my idea, I'm not being talked out of it. I'm going to go with Moxley somehow leaves the ring and the show with the world title. What I think happens, Christian comes in, Cope spears Moxley.
Okay.
Jay White helps Christian or Cope this entire time. Wheeler comes out. Jay fights him off. Christian comes out after Cope has speared Moxley going for the pin. Lights come out. Something happens. Ref gets knocked out. Something happens to where there's not a full three count. Christian comes in to try to cash it in. I think he does cash in. But in all this, Moxley either something happens with Christian. Jay turns on Cope, does the switchblade,
right,
or Blade Runner. Cope, Jay betrays Cope, either joins the Death Riders or doesn't.
but allows Moxley to win the world title. So I'm going to go with Moxley walks out of LA, the world champion. And the reason why I think that is just because of the fact that you stole my idea.
Would it be a safe bet to assume there's going to be some form of interference, outside interference in this match?
If there's not, I need to put a bet as to what will happen if it doesn't. Because if it doesn't, I'd be the most shocked person in the world. There's no way that doesn't happen.
Like hell, I wouldn't be shocked if Bryan Danielson showed up and entered the feud again at some point.
He always said that he was retiring from full time, but he never said he was retiring fully.
Right. So, you have to wonder, like, Darby Allin maybe could play a piece. Like, I don't know. Moxley has made so many enemies in this storyline that it seems like the progression of the storyline is everything's falling apart for Moxley. So is this a perfect time for all of these people that Moxley has taken out? They're finally back, and now they get their chance at revenge at Moxley. Like, I don't know. It's interesting. Like I said, as much as I would love the women to main event, I feel because of how much outside interference may get involved in this match, that it's just the better way to close the show, leaving us on a cliffhanger, which is what they like to do in this feud. So,
which is true. My only issue with this whole thing is that I don't want and I really hope whoever's, I don't care what W2D says, there's production meetings. There has to be.
Right.
I don't want AEW to overbook the shit out of this and just really, really dilutes this entire thing. That's going to be my problem.
Yeah. It shouldn't be WrestleMania last year where, like, the stormtroopers come out.
No, that's what I hope doesn't happen. So we get 18 people coming out, and then we're just like, what in the hell is going on? And we just get more, we leave more confused than anything. There needs to be a winner. There needs to be a solidified winner. And it could be that Moxley, against all odds, somehow still comes out. Or Cope fights off Moxley, Jay White, Christian wins the belt. Or Christian outsmarts everybody and cashes it. There's got to be a definitive result, no matter what interference happens. And when we leave the show Sunday, we could still have a cliffhanger of some sort. Somebody could come out at the end of the show and we're like, holy shit, they came out, what's going to happen next? But I need a definitive clear-cut winner that just doesn't kill this entire match and storyline.
Absolutely.
Like you said, the Death Riders thing, it's starting to get a little bit good now because of what's been going on over the last month. And with some of the different characters that involved that could be in this match, we've got a recipe here. I just hope it's not a recipe for a disaster, and that is a recipe for an overall good outcome in some way.
Right, because it seems like, especially with the Death Rider story, they've had good build up to pay per view matches. The chapter is getting really good. They just end the chapter on a poor note sometimes. And so hopefully they can end this chapter and allow us to go to the next chapter with some sort of clarity, whereas we're not waiting till Wednesday to kind of figure out what the hell we just watched. So,
absolutely.
But, if we didn't convince you to buy this pay-per-view, I don't know what else we could have done. I thought we hyped this up pretty good. Listen, y'all. It's $50, $5 a match. It's not. It's a pretty good deal. Let's just be honest. I think this has the possibility to be the best pay per view of the year, and it will be at this point the best pay per view of 2025 because it'll be the first pay per view of 2025. But I think we wait in December and we have the possibility of it still being AEW's best pay per view of the year. You can get it on ppv.com. You can get it on Triller TV, on YouTube, on Amazon Prime. If you're in Canada, the US, or the UK, Amazon Prime. And then I think there's some other markets internationally that you might be able to. You go to Dave & Buster's, you can watch it there, or any Johan Promotions, I think that's what it's called, space. Check their website. They have a listing of all the places you can watch it through there.
Don't go to Dave & Buster's in Concord. It sucks. Don't ever do it.
It does.
But 10 out of 10 would not recommend.
But guys, listen, it's going to be a good show. This Sunday, I'm gonna buy it tomorrow when my paycheck pound hits my account. I hope that y'all buy it and watch it and enjoy it. And this and until next week, this has been the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. And as always, Cody Marinara, say the words,
guys. Just like you did last week with Elimination Chamber, you got to do this week for Revolution. You got to make it simple. You could have made yourself a huge-ass pot of pizza sauce, marinara sauce, bolognese sauce, whatever kind of sauce you want to make. Could have made a big-ass bowl of it, have you some for last Saturday night, let that either freeze over into the freezer or do whatever you want to do, then reheat it, make it again this upcoming Sunday night. So while you're getting prepared for the weekend, end it on a great note. Eat you some pizza, eat you some spaghetti, eat some baked ziti, eat some lasagna, whatever the hell you want. Just make sure that at the end of the weekend, as we get into next week, and until then, stay saucy, friends.
We'll see you next Thursday.